Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Arts Talk with the Johnson Brothers. Your hosts are printmaker, painter, illustrator Dwayne Johnson and actor, director, playwright, cartoonist Dennis Johnson. Each week they'll bring you guest artists who will talk about what it's like working in their selected field of art, their careers, and any upcoming projects they might have. Now, here are your hosts, Dwayne and Dennis.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Welcome. Our guest today has been making films for over 10 years in Austin. He's directed 14 feature films. He's got one film right now that's been doing pretty well on the festival circuit. It's Associationville. And he wants to talk a little bit about the Austin Revolution Film Festival. Welcome to the show, James Christopher.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being here. So, Jim, tell us how your festival got started. When did you first decide to do it and how long ago?
Well, we first started, we kind of decided to do it as a film festival somewhere around 6 years ago. It's kind of a two-pronged kind of genesis of the thing. On the one hand, we were making these sort of horror shorts in between features when we were first starting out, and we would kind of throw a Halloween party and show them and just sort of invite folks over. And then, like I said, around 6 years ago or so, we started getting really active on the festival circuit, and we're seeing a lot of, like, really, really great independent films that weren't getting played anywhere in Central Texas. And so one such film was a movie called The Unusual Calling of Charlie Christmas directed by Adam Hampton out of Oklahoma. And we kind of decided, like, what if we just took our horror thing that we do and make it a whole day and rent a small venue, and then we'll just invite some of our friends to play. And it kind of grew steady from that to where we are now. We're in our fifth official year of the Austin Revolution Film Festival. We have gotten 1,200 submissions for this year's festival that will run for 4 days. And we were able to basically program about 130 truly independent films that might not have gotten seen in Austin any other way.
Now, of the 130 that you're going to be showing, where in Austin will they be showing?
We're going to be showing at three major venues. We're going to be showing movies at the Alamo Drafthouse on Wednesday the 21st, and Thursday the 22nd. And then we'll be at our host hotel, the Doubletree University, to open the festival on the 20th and to close it the 23rd and 24th. And then one of the things that we're always super excited about is one of our best sponsors is Josh Frank and the folks down there at the Blue Starlight Drive-In, which, you know, Austin has a drive-in. So if you don't know about that, you should go. And they put on a great show for us. Friday night we'll be showing a movie called Nonstop to Comic-Con, and then a movie called Born Again, and just a bunch of great sort of genre and comedy shorts, you know, outside in Austin, Texas. So we really run the gamut. The majority of stuff will be at the Doubletree University. And, you know, as Fest Runners, we were pretty deliberate about that choice. We feel like what our festival is about networking and team building. And so we felt like having the festival in a hotel situation makes it easier for people to hang out. There's a bar there. There's a restaurant there. People aren't scattering. So they can talk to each other and get to know each other. And, you know, we've had projects find their origin at that festival that have come back and played. So, you know, we really put on a very specific event, and our venues kind of feed into that.
Go ahead and mention where people could find out more information, your web page or your Facebook page or Twitter or wherever. Go ahead and mention all that detail now.
We you can find us at AustinRevolution.com. We have a great new website up this year. You know, one of the things that we have to do is we have to do things on a budget. So for the longest time, we were doing you know, the WordPress thing, and now we've got a great partner in Sapphire Events that did the website for us, and it's awesome. And you can go there, look at the calendar and find everything. Or if you know what movie you're looking for, just search the website and you'll be able to find it.
Now, does the calendar on the website list what films are being aired at what times?
Yeah, there's the calendar. If you go to event calendar, it'll scroll down there by day and then by time. And you really just have to hover over each event, and it'll tell you what time it starts and what films are in each block.
Nice.
Jim, talk a little bit about some of the films that we'll be seeing.
Well, I'm so every festival runner says this, and honestly, I said it every year. I'm super excited about the program that we have. And one of the things that we really made a point of with our judging was making a point of having it be as diverse as possible and really owning the fact that we are a multi-genre festival. That really does show. We have the world premiere of a feature film called Funeral Day, which is a pretty dark comedy. And then on top of that, we've got a super bloody midnight movie. Like if you're into that whole Nouveau Tarantino grindhouse thing, then there's a movie called Holy Hell that's just crazy, to be honest with you. I don't even know how to describe it. And we've got some good documentaries. We've got a documentary called Waiting for My Real Life, which is about Colin Hay, the lead singer of Men at Work. We're showing a film about a drama about sort of mental illness in a movie called In Sickness. So we've got all kinds of great stuff. We've got films that focus on veterans issues and have a special program this year just of films made by veterans. We've got an Austinite named Dallas Burgess playing his film, and we've got a movie called The Clearing out of Ohio that was made by an Air Force veteran. So we're doing that. We're focusing on LGBT films. We've got an incredible drama about LGBT domestic violence from San Antonio called Unimaginable that's closing us out Saturday night. So we really couldn't be more excited. We have our filmmaker of the year this year is a man named Jason Tostevin out of Ohio, and we're going to get a sneak peek at his new short called Born Again. And he's played and won here 3 years in a row, and there's a certain fan that's every year that he leaves one of Jason's screenings because that was the best short that he's ever seen. So we're excited to be able to kind of give a sneak peek at back to his horror comedy roots. So there really is a little bit of something for everything. For everyone, we have a lot of student films playing. We've got some kids at a St. Michael's Catholic Academy playing two films that's here in Austin, and we've got student films from UT, Florida State. So we really put together just an excellent, diverse lineup that I'm so proud of.
So how hard was it to come up? You had 1,200 submissions. How hard was it to narrow that down? 130 slots, and how did you determine full length or short? Or
well, the thing is we try to go into it with sort of an idea of what we want our program to look like, not necessarily genre specific, but we know that we want to play somewhere around 23 feature films, so we kind of mark off where we think the features will go in the schedule. And then we have a judging process, and we've got some judges that I don't like to mention their names because I've been at festivals and seen judges get harassed. We've got judges. I tend to actually not be involved in most of the initial judging situations. Like, and nothing didn't get into the festival without me saying yes or no, but we have kind of a blind judging situation. We've got about 25 judges across five or six different categories, and we look at the ratings, and then a lot of times we'll have to go back and have like group discussions and make people kind of argue for their film. And it is a long process. My judges are super good about watching things as we go, so we never feel like the submission date ended and now we have 1,200 films to figure out. So. But it is an ordeal, and there's this part of me that's filled with this bravado of, we have to continue to grow as a festival. Because of the films that we play, we're not going to get a lot of big sponsors, because in Austin, people want to sponsor films that have Matthew McConaughey, and my argument is there's enough festivals in town that show those movies.
Right.
So
yeah.
We do have to make sure that we're getting a lot of submissions to help keep the festival funded, and it does. It bugs me. I hate the fact that we have to reject anybody. And right now we're figuring out awards, and I hate, you know, it's just one of those things. But I hate having to send the rejection letters. But I'm proud of the lineup that we have, and I think it's the kind of lineup that somebody can stumble in off the street and see these films and be like, okay, cool, yeah, this works. And I think that's key, because sometimes you go to an independent film festival and the question is, how did this movie even get into anything? So I think anybody that walks into our screening blocks are going to feel like, yeah, that's a good lineup.
Yeah, and one thing that's important for the filmmakers to know that you had to turn down doesn't mean the film's not good. It just means it wasn't what you were looking for at that time.
That's precisely it. I mean, the fact is that we have to be responsive to what our town is, right? So it's Austin. So Austin's not really a big horror town. So while we do have three or four horror features playing, including a movie called Art Alter, which is great, out of California, and it's playing with a really great thriller short called Loop, but we're not a horror town. So, you know, if I get 10 horror films, can't play them all. You know, we're going to try our best. But, and I think that is precisely it, that it is needs of, you know, the vibe of the community as much as possible. And what I try to do is with every fest that we kind of have to say no to, or every movie, I'm sorry, I try to, like, because I have friends that run festivals, and I try to point them out to festivals that they might be a fit in, because there is a lot of good content coming out. It's just not something we can play. Not always something we can play.
And let's face it, 1,200 submissions, that's a pretty good number.
It is. It's one of those numbers that's scary when you think about it, and then, I mean, and I think it's what it is at the side of our growth. The thing is I think people trust us to make the right decisions. Right now, you know, on the Film Freeway, which is the website that kind of aggregates film festivals, they got something like almost 4,000. And in this situation, if you've been accepted to a festival, you can go and rate the festival. And we are the second highest rated festival out of 4,000 with like 35 five-star reviews. So we are at least I think filmmakers know that while it's never going to be perfect, we at least do care about what we're doing, and we do care about them having the best experience, and I think that goes a long way.
Yeah, and we'll start talking about your work here in a second, but with Twitchy Dolphin, you've been in a lot of festivals, and you've attended several festivals. So that kind of works towards what you're doing with this one, because you see what's right and wrong, and it kind of helps you, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And I would say, so much about what we do is based on things that we've seen that we didn't necessarily like very much. You know, one of the things that I sort of hate, I don't like going to a festival. I don't have to pay. Like, it's already expensive to get there. If you take more than just yourself and, say, a cast member, then you got to buy badges. So I don't like having to make filmmakers pay for anything else. The other thing is I don't want to have a festival where I've sort of paid a bunch of celebrities to come and hang out with us to make us feel important. What I would rather do is create a laid-back, leave all the pretense at the door, and let's just all just be real with each other and create that type of an environment that really, I think, lends itself more to really being able to network and really being able to figure out a way to find allies. That's really what this is all about. I mean, you can't do this all by yourself. And so I tried to make it as laid back of an environment as possible. Now, I love going to festivals that are fancy. I mean, and I think that's super important. I just don't think that we could do that well and maintain our not charging filmmakers for other stuff mantra. So that's the direction we've chosen to take.
Do you ever intend to have any panels or workshops or anything to go along with it, or do you already?
We do already, and we're putting those on the schedule. So we have two types of panels. So we're going to run, I think we're going to run four traditional panels. The first one will be Friday the 23rd at 5:30, and that'll be a surviving film festival panel. And basically it'll be myself, Cedric Smith, who has a movie Unimaginable for San Antonio and also programs a major festival, and then Josh Hope, who is a filmmaker from Oklahoma and programs the best independent film festival that I've gone to in a long time called Twister Alley. So what we're going to do is we're going to sit down with filmmakers and try to give them some tips on how to make their film more likely to get into a festival, what we're looking for as programmers, and then how to make their most out of the experience they're going to have for that weekend. I think a lot of people go to a festival and think, I'm going to come to this festival and I'm going to sell my film. Well, that idea started to fade away in the mid-1990s. So What are the other benefits that you can get out of being at this festival? And that's finding allies, building an audience, things that can make your follow-on film more successful. So we're going to do a panel about that. Our filmmaker of the year is going to be the moderator on our female filmmaker, our Independent Women of Film panel. And it's the panel we do every year. We have a Female Filmmaker of the Year award that we give away, and we want to make sure that we shine a light on that underrepresented group. You know, there's a benefit to doing indie film, and that's, in a lot of ways, you have more female voices because they don't have to worry about the sort of sexist political structure that comes from Hollywood. So we're going to do an hour-long panel with them on Saturday the 24th. And then we also do what we call bar chats. And basically a bar chat is it's a Facebook Live event where I'll bring up three or four filmmakers, and the festival will buy them all a pint of something. And then we're going to talk online about some topic, and then when the pints are gone, the talk is over. So we're going to do one with a couple of screenwriters, including Randall Greenland and Yaki Smith, who's out of Fort Worth, and we're going to talk do a little bit just talking about storytelling and talking about screenwriting. So, and all of these events will be made live online as well, so even if people can't make it to the festival, they can at least check it out and watch them.
And that'll be live on the Austin Revolution Film Facebook page?
It'll be live on that one or mine. That's the one thing we're still kind of narrowing down the strategy for, is which will give us the most reach. So because the way Facebook does group pages is a little weird. So we're still kind of talking about that. But we'll make it very clear where to find them.
So check out James Christopher on Facebook and check out Austin Revolution Film Festival on Facebook. You'll be on one of those two.
Yes, sir.
Or Twitchy Dolphin, maybe.
It'll either be mine or the festival page, but I'm thinking it'll probably be mine for this first year. Since we did it on Periscope last year and that was super successful, but I kind of like what Facebook Live has to offer as far as it being a video we can save and keep. So we're gonna roll with that this year, I think.
Let's talk a little bit about your new film that you got. And we'll come back to the film festival quick. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Yeah,
we're
on the circuit with Disassociationville right now, which it's a little bit different film for us. It's a drama, not kind of a silly comedy. And we premiered the film in November of 2015, so about 8 or 9 months ago, and have since gone on to play about 52 film festivals and won over 30 awards. So it's been something that we're not necessarily used to. Like, we're used to play a lot of festivals, and we're very proud of our festival record, but this has kind of been over and above what we're used to. And we're actually going to be having the DVD release of it at the Austin Revolution Film Festival Friday night. So we're going to be self-distributing the movie. That's something we've kind of gotten into lately. So we're super excited about it.
I think it's just something to say about you and Twitchy and just your progression as filmmakers. I mean, if you're getting into so many films with this one, because of all that hard work you started with back in, 2007 or?
I think so. And I think we kind of always had the approach when we were when we started the festival that we knew we were never going to be able to outspend any problems. We could outlearn them and outthink them. And I think, you know, there's obviously one of the reasons why we get the more festivals now than we did is our quality. And I think the other thing is now I think festivals see that we're a good team to program because we'll go out there and we'll do our best to kind of be a positive impact. So, but it definitely is. It's definitely something where we can point to the fact that we worked really, really hard to make all this happen, and then we made it happen. So we're pretty proud of it. We're pretty proud of the movie, and we're excited for, you know, what's next. And it's going to, you know, we're just hoping for to keep growing, keep moving forward.
Yeah. How many films have you put out over the years now?
We just finished shooting number 14, which is a movie called The 5 Year. And I had a great time, shot it out here in Lake Travis. And then as of would have been released, is D-Ville is our 12th. So our world premiere for our 13th is set. We'll be premiering near Vegas in October, so we're pretty excited.
Nice.
Talk about the new film that you're getting ready to start up production on.
Well, yeah, we just finished shooting. We just wrapped production, actually, a movie called The 5 Year, and then we're already in pre-production for a movie for next year. We're doing a Christmas movie called Chance of Snow, and it's for all those Texas boys out there who know what it's like to go to see Christmas Eve hoping beyond hope that you might get a little bit of snow on Christmas. It's kind of dedicated to all those guys.
Yeah, unless you live north of Dallas, you're not likely to.
No, I think I've had a white Christmas 4 times in my life, and once I was in Germany and once I was in Bosnia. So
yeah,
those were it, you know.
Well, I'm in North Carolina, and we still don't see it. So
yeah,
if we get snow, it's in February.
You're right. But yeah, so I guess we're excited, and what's really cool about doing the 5 year was most of the cast we met on the festival circuit, and I think that's just why it's important if you're a filmmaker or an actor or a writer, why you should go to these things. You should go where the people of your field are operating, and if you don't live in Los Angeles or New York, then you got to go to film festivals that are near your town.
Yeah, because networking is incredibly important.
It's the most important thing. I mean, the old cliche is, it's not, you know, what you know, it's who you know, and that even works at our level. I mean, if I get 2 films that are equal, and one of them says, hey, I know James Christopher, and he said that I would enjoy your festival, that's going to sway, you know. If it's all 2 films that have the same score, and, you know, that's just how life works. So,
right, yeah. Talk a little bit about the 5 year.
It's kind of, if I was going to draw a comparison, sort of do a comparison, it's kind of my my Big Chill or my Family Fire. And we just wanted to, it's one of those things where we wanted to do a film that was about friendship. And I thought it would be fun if we rented a house on Lake Travis and just shot the movie straight through, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It was the most fun I've ever had on set. And it was a direct reaction to the movie we'd made previous where it wasn't as much fun. So it's got a little bit of everything in it and just an excellent cast. And so we're probably at a fine cut of it right now. We're probably about a month or so away from being at picture lock, and then we'll start, you know, kind of finishing the thing up, which that's always the frustrating thing is that usually the edit of the picture comes along pretty quickly. And then if you get to then doing the color and the sound and the graphics and things always seem takes forever. So we're working to get it finished.
And having been in some of your films, you know, any actors out there listening, give with James Christopher, because they have a lot of fun on their films. Some of my best experiences.
Well, thanks. We try to. We can't, you know, I always just want the experience to be something people go back and they look back on happy and they were glad they did the film. So we try to create that as much as possible.
And it's a good sign when you're an independent filmmaker that you have cast members that are constantly wanting to come back.
Yeah, you know, and we had a situation where, we met an actor named Alicia Rivera. I think I pronounced that right. She'll yell at me. We met her at a festival, and we loved her, and we were like, man, I really want to work with her. And then had an actor bail out on us like a week and a half later, and she was immediately in. So it's always, it's a nice compliment to what we've built here, and then it's a super big responsibility to make their decision worth it. So as long as we can do that, then I think we'll be fine. And, she'll have a film festival too. It's all in all, I think, like I said, I hope people are able to come out. The Alamo's Draft House screenings are sold out, but we have plenty of passes for Friday and Saturday for Awesome Revolution. We've got some extra excellent feature films and just some amazing shorts that are around. And we've got a drama shorts block Saturday night with a movie called Move Me and Kind of Blue that are just great. So I really hope people go to the website, check it out. They can see trailers and posters of everything that we're playing. And I'd love to see folks out.
And tell them, which Alamo Draft House will it be?
Well, the Alamo Draft House is sold out, but we're at Slaughter Lane. There's still tickets for the DoubleTree University screenings. Those are just bigger rooms. And then there's plenty of seats left for the drive-in. And we've got a mixture of some horror comedy and straight comedy to drive in. We tend to, for the drive in, over every other year rotate. So some years we'll kind of go heavy horror, and this year we're going to go into comedy stuff instead. And so we have for that night, we've got a movie called Nonstop to Comic Con, which has played all kinds of festivals, and that's kind of our center point feature film. And then we've got a movie called Nob Goblins, which is about a monster who eats people's penises. It's a family film. And then just a bunch of other sort of wacky horror movies like that. So it's going to be great.
Are there any other sponsors that you want to mention for the film festival other than the ones you've already mentioned?
Yeah, I do. I definitely want to, we have a lot of sponsors. And what I think is really awesome is that we're able to have sponsors that are able to be involved when they might not be able to be involved in something that was, for lack of a better term, sexier. So obviously Arts Talk, you guys are great. 512 Area has done a great job for us, and they're going to be doing they'll be covering a lot of the photos. Carla Rodriguez is a filmmaker out of Huntsville that continues to sponsor our stuff and has done a great job for it. We really couldn't be us without him. Ambassador Global is a great group. Some names that filmmakers will know: Film Freeway is a sponsor, Final Draft is a sponsor, and E-Tip is a sponsor. And one of the things that I find the most complimentary has been the number of film festivals that have agreed to sponsor us. So the Eyecatcher Film Festival, Fort Worth Indie Film Showcase, and then Nightmares Film Festival, which is a brand new festival that's a horror festival in Ohio, have all sponsored awards in our fest. And winners in the categories they sponsored are automatically accepted into those festivals. So, again, if you're a filmmaker out there, swing by, check out, click on the link on our sponsor page. We'll take you directly to their submission site. It'll be great. Like I said, Nightmares, they are still taking submissions right now, and I think they end relatively soon. So I really would check it out if you have a horror film. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think filmmakers get jaded about festivals and they think it's like the lottery, and I get it, but it's still, I think, the easiest way to get different eyes on your work than just showing it to your mom in your basement. So I think, if you have any questions, you can hit me up through the website. I'm happy to tell you what festivals you should and shouldn't donate to, but I think particularly film festivals like Nightmares in Fort Worth and in Bare Bones are must submits for me.
Yeah. And I just want to mention that as one of the media sponsors, we're going to have some of the filmmakers and actors the next 4 weeks talking about their work and stuff. That'll be part of the Revolution Film Festival.
Yeah, I think you guys have Jason Tostevin. Is he up next? Is he the next one?
He may have to be, because Hoyt was supposed to be next, Hoyt Richards. I haven't gotten anything from him. I haven't even heard from him.
All right, well, I'll reach out to those guys. But yeah, I know Jason's coming on. I know that. I think who else is coming on?
Cedric will be, I think he's next to the last or the last one. Cedric from the San Antonio one. Darva Campbell.
Oh, good. Darva Campbell. She's great.
How many is that? Three? Four?
That's
four.
Yeah,
we'll
get on Hoyt. We'll find him.
Yeah, he may just not respond to those messages through Facebook Messenger.
Yeah, I'll send him an email for you guys.
Okay. Yeah, and I've heard from the others, so I've got all the Cedric stuff. And the other two said they'll be sending theirs, so we'll get them going.
Perfect.
It'll be good. Well, Jim, it was great.
This thing still record after this?
It's recording right now, I think.
Is it?
Used to be.
It's just, it doesn't say on. Well, it's not live anymore, so if we're in it, we're in the archive part of it, but that's okay.
Oh, are we? Okay.
Yeah, it hadn't asked us.
So we were talking before the show about the drone. So, what do you think about technology? What's going on with technology and film right now? It's incredible.
I think it's great. I think that it is. I think it democratizes everything, and I think now I can go out and get good aerial shots without having to hang from a tree. And I think it just makes my film look more expensive. It makes my film look more legit,
almost have to rent
as fun as that is the technology with distribution. Like now you really can put your own movie out, and if you've built an audience, you'll see, people watching your film. So I think it's great.
Dennis, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just saying that it's you don't have to rent a helicopter now because of drones, but even your smartphones have incredible video now comparatively.
They said South by the camera used the most was an iPhone this year. One camera that broke down, yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible some of the stuff and the availability now of the filmmaking.
Yeah, and I think, I feel like what it means is people that, you have to still tell a good story, but maybe now story might rise to the top sort of thing. So that's kind of the
story
hope.
Is now the thing that'll set it apart.
Yeah. That's definitely the hope.
Yeah, story and technique. Those are the things that'll set apart good filmmakers from YouTubers.
Yep, for sure.
Jim, talk a little bit about your writing. I don't think we ever got really into that. You write all your feature films, but you've also written a couple of books too.
Yeah, well, I've I started writing novels. It sort of is a strategy for my movie. So I have a lot of screenplays that are not necessarily meant for Twitchy to sell, but to be made. And I have a friend of mine, his name is Billy Kring, who is an excellent novelist. And he is a guy that really said that, a lot of my films, the scripts I have would translate to be great serial novels. And I kind of decided that I would give it a shot. And I've released two. And the first one's called Holy High, and it's a it's about this sort of secret Catholic academy in the Vatican that you think that sort of sells itself as this where you go for the best education, but really it's a secret training ground for Exorcist and Vampire Hunters and things. So it's kind of a young adult, new adult thing. And then I just released a book called The Devil's Gun, which is based on a screenplay of mine that's won over 100 festivals. And it's about it's kind of a modern take on The Man with No Name, about a FBI agent who's been betrayed and is on the run and stumbles into a West Texas town where he kind of is dealing with a lot of drug trafficking and sex trafficking, and basically a town held terror. And that's sort of inspired by those old Clint Eastwood movies where he would like ride into a town and right the wrong and then have to leave, that kind of thing.
You got more planned for any coming up?
I do. I'm going to be releasing another kind of young adult thing called The Mermaid Chronicles, which I'm working on right now. That's, again, based on a pilot script for a TV show I had that kind of had a little bit of traction, and then it died off, and then it seems like mermaids are popular again. So I'm trying to get the idea out there. Mm-hmm. And the hope is that I try to get them out there. I try to get them published and that they can demonstrate some degree of interest, so that way when I go to try to get these scripts sold, I can show, hey, look, people are already interested in it. It's an easier sell for you. So that's kind of the way I'm trying to navigate this world of spec scripts and how hard it is to get something made and sold because of just the nature of what they are making and selling right now.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like a great approach.
Yeah,
let them work with each other.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, James, it's been great talking to you. I look forward to talking to
you.
Me too.
I hope we'll see you guys at the festival that Friday and Saturday.
I'm going to do my best to be there.
I wish. Hey, you guys need to come out and film something in North Carolina sometime so I can join in.
You know, I know some good guys in South Carolina that make films. You should hook up with those guys. I'll send you their contact information.
Yeah, send me their information.
They're super good friends of mine, and they're very, very talented.
Nice. We like friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys take care, and I thank you guys so much for covering the festival. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. We enjoy it.
Yep, and I'll get you guys your buckles out to you.
All right.
Yes.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye.